Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It is 9 o'clock on a Saturday, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. And I am going to be speaking to somebody today who you have seen on this channel already before. The person I'm going to be speaking to, who I will introduce in a minute, his name is Alex Kirk. Now, Alex, last time I spoke to him, he was working for Prop Dog, Dave Bonsall's Prop Dog. He was a key part of the Prop Dog brand. And when I spoke to him, Prop Dog was kind of winding up and moving over to Wales. And at the end of the interview, I said to Alex, what's next for you? And you were like, he was like, I don't know. Maybe I'll start a magic shop. Now, a couple of years removed since then, Monster Magic, which is his brand, has rapidly become one of the most popular magic shops, magic dealers in the UK. I have spoken to so many magicians who have stopped shopping wherever and have started shopping with Monster Magic. And I've known Alex for a very long time. The key thing about Alex is he cares. He's a really nice guy. He's one of the most knowledgeable people you'll know. He can give you a reference on a move from a book 100 years ago, tell you the page it's on, probably even quote the actual paragraph as well. Super knowledgeable, super nice guy, and genuinely wants to help. And I think that's why he's being so successful. And I wanted him to come back on the channel. I've been trying to get him on here for a while now because I wanted to talk about Monster Magic, what led to him setting it all up, and kind of where he sees the brand going from here. I'm super excited to bring him onto the channel. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the one and only, the living legend himself, Mr. Alex Kirk. How you doing, Alex?
Hello. I'm very, very well. Yes. Well, thanks for all of that. I'm not sure I believe half of it, but...
It's all true, though. It was all true. You know, we'll get into Monster Magic in a bit and everything that you're doing. Okay. But a lot of the stuff that you're doing, I look at it and I go, oh, that's very smart from a marketing point of view. But I don't even think you're doing it from a marketing point of view. You're doing it from a... You're just a nice guy point of view. Like, we'll get into this in a bit, but the amount that you do for this community is brilliant.
I think I have been sort of lucky, really. I'm not very good at... Hand on heart, I don't think I'm very good at marketing. And I think I've been very lucky with people posting things for me and saying things that I've done for them off their own back, which I'm very, very grateful for. I've never asked for it. You know, I'm just doing things from the heart because I like doing them, really. And I feel very lucky, as I was saying earlier, you know, I'm very, very lucky to be in this magic business, to have it as my full-time job, you know, to do something that I love every day is the best thing in the world. And if I can spread a little bit of joy, help people out, then that just makes me happy.
That's amazing. Now, what I want to do is I want to talk all about Monster Magic. But first of all, I'm not going to, for anybody watching this interview, we're not going to recap what we talked about last time. If you're interested in Alex's origin story, how he got into magic, how he ended up working with Prop Dog, how all that came to be, go and look at the first interview. What I'm interested in is how you went from there. You're sitting in front. When I interviewed you before, you were working with Prop Dog. We interviewed you on a boat. Now you're at Monster Magic HQ.
I am Monster Magic HQ,
which is amazing. You've got boxes everywhere. Your stock, you know, there's a lot of things that you've built into the website that, you know, like if it's not in stock, you know, we'll talk about that. I don't want to jump in. But what I do want to know, first of all, from where we finished off that interview, I remember asking you, and you were like, I was like, what's next? And you're like, I'm thinking about maybe opening a magic shop. You were still working with Prop Dog, but I think it was winding down at the time. So, you know, Dave had already made the decision to go to Wales. He was kind of waiting for his lease to expire, I think, something like that. How did you go from there to setting up Monster Magic? Talk me through that.
Right. Well, I think for a start, I was completely naive. So even though I worked at Prop Dog and I knew the business inside out, I was very naive about the amount of effort, work, everything else that's involved in it, how time consuming it is, how it takes over your life. But lots of people were asking me about what I was going to do, and I really just didn't have an answer. I didn't want to go back to performing full time. So starting a magic shop was suggested. People said I'd be good at it. People said I should. Dave was absolutely brilliant and facilitated that wholeheartedly, gave me lots of advice, let me actually start whilst I was still working at Prop Dog. So I had the advantage of having been able to be paid for working at Prop Dog, but have some boxes of Monster Magic stuff slowly piling up behind my desk, and also sending it out from Prop Dog, you know, with a, you know, different Monster Magic on the back rather than Prop Dog.
I mean, that's really nice of Dave. It shows you the type of guy that he is, because he didn't need to do that at all.
No, he didn't at all. And I think there's, I don't know, I really bonded with Dave. But Dave is probably one of the best friends you could ever have. He will help me. He helped me with my boat, doing my boat up spontaneously. Didn't ask him. He just said, I'll come with you and help. You know, he just volunteers. And everyone at Prop Dog, really, I'm still, you know, good friends with them. And I think we were just such a good bunch. It was such an amazing place to work. I owe them all so much.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I mean, Dave's in a great place now. He's happier than ever before. He's doing what he loves, which is amazing. Did you kind of think with Prop Dog going away, there was a gap in the market? Because there's a lot of magic shops, but I think what Prop Dog did better than almost anybody, maybe Alakazam do it as well, but I think there's very few magic dealers that do it, is Prop Dog had a great way to connect with the customer base. They had the lives that went up every week, which were very, very popular. It was almost like everybody knew. It's also like everybody was best friends with the whole Prop Dog team. And they were known for going above and beyond and helping customers. And that seems to be the same thing that Monster Magic embody as well. Was the goal kind of, I'm going to try and take the best bits of Prop Dog, but kind of, where did that all come from?
Probably subconsciously, probably. Davenport's had shut fairly recently. Prop Dog going, you know, obviously was, I was sadder than Dave. Dave had something great to go on to. And yeah, I did feel, well, I sort of thought the magic world needed something similar to Prop Dog, something that was as good as Prop Dog with Prop Dog's attitude. So yeah, no, very much so, I think. Looking back on it, yeah, I can retrace that now. I'm not sure it was that conscious at the time. And also, yeah, I mean, I do wish there were more magic shops in London. I'm going to give a big shout out to Martin McMillan at International, because that's where my magic days started. I'm thrilled he's still going and seems to be thriving still. But that seems to be the only one really in the centre of town. So, you know,
it's
a mad world.
It's a real shame. So before you, I mean, obviously you're an online shop. When you first started, you weren't going, you know, Alex were still appearing at conventions as Prop Dog, like Monster Magic only existed online initially. And when you first started, and this is something that you've carried on doing, you made a lot of very interesting business decisions. And I'd like to explore that. And in order for me to ask this question, I have to give everyone a frame of reference, because a lot of people don't know the industry as well as maybe you and I do. So to give people a frame of reference to the question I'm going to ask, the number one magic wholesaler in the world is Murphy's Magic. They have a back catalogue of probably billions of tricks. What most magic shops will do, almost every magic shop I've ever seen, is they will literally list everything that Murphy's have in stock. Literally everything. And Murphy's will actually contact their suppliers and tell them you should list everything, because their attitude is that way, if somebody's looking for something, even if you don't think it's very good, somebody might want it. If they don't get it off you, they're going to get it off somebody else. So Murphy's encourage you listing everything. Most magic shops do list everything. And most magic shops will list everything regardless of when they've got it in stock or not. And they will have on their website in stock. That doesn't necessarily mean in stock. It means that the Murphy's Magic have it in stock. It doesn't mean you're going to get it straight away. So in other words, if you go into I'm not going to name specific shops or anything like that, but if you go into a magic shop and they go, yeah, it's in stock and you buy it, they will then need to order it from Murphy's, have it delivered to them, which can take a few days, and then they will have to post it out to you. Now, what you've done is, a lot of people would say from a business point of view, it's fucking nuts. Because what you've done is you don't list everything. You only list the stuff that you think would provide value for your customers, which from a business point of view, there's two things there. One, you have to kind of watch everything to decide whether it's going to be any good or not. Sometimes you're going to have to buy stuff in because you think it's good, and then you'd maybe have to remove it if you didn't think it's good. You're going to have to watch every trailer. Like, it adds time on to be able to do that. But then obviously it means that you're not listing everything that every other shop has. So if somebody wants something from this creator and you don't think it's good, they won't find it on your site. They'll go somewhere else, right? And then the other thing that you've done is, if you don't have it in stock physically in that building you're sitting in right now, you can't buy it off your website. It says out of stock. I've never seen a magic shop that does that. Because from a business point of view, they kind of think, well, it is in stock. I know I can order one from Sacramento. Click add to cart, click buy. You'll just get it in a few days' time. But you're kind of the shop that's got stock. If you can buy it from Monster Magic, it means that you have it in that building you're sitting in and it will get shipped out immediately. That, again, is a very strange business decision, because there's going to be people that would buy something and they can't buy it because you haven't got it in stock. They might go somewhere else and then have to wait a couple of weeks because they haven't actually got it in stock. So what, like, I hope I've kind of synopsized the situation here and explained why what you're doing is so bizarre and unique. And I'm kind of saying it's a nuts business decision. Here's the thing, from a business point of view, if you went to a business coach and said, this is how the industry does it, this is how I do it, most business coaches would say, are you mad? Don't do it that way. Do it that way. I know why you've done it, but I want to hear you vocalize it, because it's worked for you. I didn't think it would, to be perfectly honest. I didn't think it would work. It has. It's absolutely one of the things that's really cemented you as a business in a very crowded industry. But can we talk about your reasonings behind that, kind of flying in the face of Murphy's Magic, and how that's helped establish you as a brand?
Okay, well, that was a fair... I mean, you touched on a lot of things there. I will say, yes, it's nuts. It's completely the wrong thing to do. If you wanted to set up an online magic shop, you could get yourself a Murphy's account. You could, in a couple of days, you'll be making more money than me, probably. And working half as hard. But I'll tell you what, I didn't set up Monster to make money, bottom line. I needed something to do. I don't need a lot of money. I've never craved a lot of money. I've got a very, very simple life. You know, I live on a 30-foot narrow boat. I live on my own. I could sit and eat hummus for dinner, and I've got no one telling me that that is a ridiculous thing to be doing. So I don't, I can't buy anything because I live in a 30-foot narrow boat. You know, objects are pointless. So I've got a very simple, easy life. I don't need money. And I think if you were going to set up a business, if money is your... I don't think businesses are created or shouldn't be created to make money. There's a guy, I can't remember, he summed it up. He said a car, you know, isn't there to sell petrol or to increase petrol sales. It's to get you from A to B. You need petrol to keep the car running. Yeah. So Monster needs to make enough money to keep going, but that's it. It's not set up purely as a business venture. It's not set up to make me rich. I never actually really pay very much attention to the cost of whatever I might be trying to do. If I think it's the right thing to do, that is what I will do, even if it means I've made a loss on that sale.
That's incredible. And that explains, you know, a desire to not make money explains an awful lot. But I also think there's more to it than that, isn't there? Like, you believe that, like, because PropDog did this, didn't they? You know, they call out tricks that weren't very good. And Dave would constantly, like, fly in the face of Murphy's magic to the point that, like, there would be shouting matches between them at some point in the past. Like, I'm not saying that you've done that with Murphy's, but you are kind of going down the same approach of, if this trick's shit, I don't want my customers to think that I'm endorsing it.
No, so the whole product thing, the idea of keeping things in stock, is really, so when someone buys something from Monster, they're trusting me. They give me their money, and I feel that if they've given me their money, I don't want to be holding that money, even if it's only for a few days. As soon as that money comes in, I'd like to go, right, I've got to send them that. I'm obliged to send that. And I think holding, you know, so I'd rather send it out as quickly as possible. I lose money, so sure. I could really, really increase sales and make more money if I let people add things to the basket and it only takes, you know, 3 or 4 days and they'll have it. But I think I've just got their money then. I'd rather they pay in 3 or 4 days' time and I can send it out on that day. I don't know, you know, other shops as well. I think apart from in the magic world, I might be wrong, but I think if I buy something from Screwfix or, you know, which I do often, I expect it to arrive pretty quickly. I don't expect them to have to order it in. So it's kind of a unique business model within magic. And I'm not a fan of it, really. And also, if you've got it in stock, a number of times I've sent people pictures of things or measured things for them. How many dollars can I fit in this purse? I can tell them. So there's a big advantage to doing it.
And you know what? I think that's one of the reasons that Monster Magic is such a unique magic dealer. Because it's a combination of you caring about your customers and you genuinely do care about them. Yeah. And also not having a desire to make an absolute fortune. I hope you don't mind me mentioning this because for anybody doubting what Alex is saying here, I hope you don't mind me saying this. I'm going to explain like a very bizarre business decision that the only reason that Alex would do this would be to help his customers. So most recently, I bought out Cheetah Chips with Penguin Magic. And so many people have said to me in the UK, where can I get it? And my standard response is Monster Magic, of course. And we'll talk about this in a bit. I know you get stuff in before anyone else. So my standard thing is always Monster Magic, Monster Magic. And I know that Penguin aren't wholesaling them at the moment, and they're not going to be wholesaling them until the end of December. But you'll also notice that Alex has had them on sale on his sites. Because you've had customers saying, I want to get Cheetah Chips. And so and people don't want to buy them from Penguin because they have to deal with import duty and shipping and so on and so forth. So your solution was not to turn around to the customers and go, wait until the end of the month, I'll get them in, I promise you. Or pay for it now, I'm getting some in at the end of the month, then I'll send it to you. Your solution is to buy them from Penguin at retail price, no discount, no wholesale, no nothing. Buy them in at the same price a punter would do and pay shipping and import, all the stuff that everybody else doesn't want to do, do that. So you can sell them to your customers, not to make a profit, just because they're saying to you, I really want this trick. And you want to be able to turn around and say, no problem. You want it? I got it. That's insane.
Now you've said it. Yes, probably.
It's insane, but it shows how much you care about your reputation and your company's reputation and how much you care about helping the community. Genuinely, it does.
So I think and it's very hard to justify. I hope Penguin aren't annoyed that I've done it.
But... Hey, no, they won't, because I speak to Penguin all the time and I tell them how amazing you are. And plus, it's your, you bought them in. You have a, you can sell them if you want to. People do that. People buy stuff and say it's secondhand. Penguin won't care.
Yeah. So, I mean, I actually, yeah. So, I mean, it's slightly worse than not making a profit, to be honest. But it, like I say, it felt like the right thing to do. People wanted them. I was a bit frustrated that it's a great trick. I know I'm talking to the creator, so I would say it's a great trick, but...
No, but you wouldn't. You know, we'll get to that demand, in a bit. You the wouldn't.
Demand, the demand was there. I am willing to take, well, a sizable hit. It was even more sizable because they threw in so much free stuff. The customs was more than I had bargained for. But it's about serving the Magic community. And like I say, I'm very lucky to be able to do this stuff. And... I want to help people, really. I think, yeah, just the right thing to do, isn't it? I don't know.
It is the right thing to do, but I don't think I know of any other magic dealer that would do it.
Well, that's probably because, I mean, anyone who, yeah. well, they wouldn't know because it costs them money.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the bottom line. I think most businesses don't want to lose out on their deals. I think that is very sensible. I would advise anyone who's running a business, try not to sell things at a loss.
Your reputation, like every day, like more people, like the amount of posts that I see on Facebook, Alex, of somebody, like I saw it the other day from, like, I think Danny Rag possibly, or Kev, I can't remember. I see it all the time. Somebody will post a picture of a product and a handwritten note from you. And what's happened here is they've not bought anything from you. They've not put an order in on your website. You've just been randomly doom scrolling on Facebook. Oh, let's see what's going on. And you see a post from somebody going, I'm really struggling with this. I think this is, you know, whatever. And you haven't even said anything to them. You've gone, oh, they've bought from Monster Magic before. I know their address. And you've sent them the exact thing that they need to fix the problem they talked about on Facebook, and put a handwritten note going, saw you first on Facebook. Hope this helps. This is what you need. And you've had to pay for the shipping. You've had to pay for that stock that you've sent over to them. And it's not like you've done it and then boasted about it on Facebook. It's not like you've gone, you know, like those crappy YouTube video shorts where it's like, oh, I'm going to make £1,000 and give it to this homeless person. Look at how good I am. Like, it's not that. You're not telling anyone. The only way I know about this is because they've posted about it. Like,
yeah. I mean, I'm very pleased that they do. I'm a nice guy. You could easily argue it's very, very selfish because it makes me very, very happy to be able to do it. And I think, I don't care about, if I looked at the money, if I cared about the profit, if I figured out, well, hang on, I'll be losing money on the deal, I won't do that. I wouldn't do half of the stuff that I do. So I've decided that that just isn't something that I'm going to do. I'm never going to question how much the right thing costs or even the most ridiculous thing costs. If I can help, I will, because I want to. It makes me happy to be able to help. I enjoy Monster because of all of those good bits. And, you know, if I'm having a bit of a bad day or whatever, I'll do something nice to someone. You know, I could argue it was selfish because it's made me happy thinking, having a little bit of a chuckle, going, they're going to open up and find a little present, you know. My favourite thing was, I'm going to boast now, the TCC shot glass. I won't tell you what the present was, but it was a shot glass, and I thought, what would be a nice little present to go with a shot glass? So threw in something that pretty much cost the price of the product, but, you know, it was a really, really fun thing to do. And I was just chuckling for going, he's going to open that tomorrow and it'll be a wonderful moment.
Man, like, you told me off camera before we started filming that if you ever have a bad day, you'll go and pack an order and you'll just throw some extra stuff in because it knows that it makes you feel better knowing that you've done something that's going to cheer somebody else up.
Yeah, yeah, and the same as if, yeah, I mean, yeah, I will. Yeah, it's all pretty selfish, really. I mean, I know people are getting something out of it. but there are some things, you know, so here's an example. This has happened twice, actually, with the same product. One person, you know, they sat on it. They've broken it. They've emailed in going, I bought this from you. I've broken it. What can I do? And I don't know, you know, I think there's probably the correct answer, which is why you've got to buy a new one. It's probably what people would consider the correct answer. Mm. But I think if you ask them in their heart of hearts, they probably never admit it. What they really want is for me to send them another one.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. Because that is what they want. That is the best solution for them. I've been in a position where I've accidentally broken something or I've lost something at a gig or I've been making a gimmick and I've bugged it up. What I would really love in that situation is for someone to be able to sort me out. So,
wow.
I told you I wasn't going to brag. I shouldn't. This is all, you know.
No, this is, I really want people to hear this. I mean, you are very unique. I said at the very beginning of this whole thing as an intro, you know, like you're a nice guy. You are a nice guy. I'm not saying that there's other people that run magic shops that aren't nice guys, but you're a nice guy. Like, honestly, you go above and beyond to do the right thing and make sure that your moral compass is always pointing north, you know?
I think above and beyond is pretty much what, it's what I really want. I want people to think when they open it up or when they get a reply from me that not only have they got, you know, they've got the best answer, but also a little bit more. I think I like that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, if I mean, the number of people who have sort of, questioned it and friends going, but you know, that's a crazy thing to do. I haven't really got an answer for it apart from I like doing it.
Well, look, it's the momentum that, and I know you're not doing it to become the biggest magic shop in the world at all by any stretch of the imagination, but the momentum that Monster Magic has, you know, it's that old expression, isn't it? Pay it forward. You know, you help one person, they're going to tell everyone to shop from Monster Magic. You help 10 people, they're all going to tell. I think that the reputation that you have, the brand that you've developed, and the success that you're seeing is because people within the industry can see how unique your approach is towards being a dealer in this community.
I think, yeah, I mean, I'm very pleased. I mean, I am Monster. I think that's possibly one of the other driving forces. So it is, you know, I'm not only the face of it, I am it. So anything good or dare I say anything bad is on me. So very driving to make sure everything is perfect and actually be as best as it can be, because it's my reputation rather than Monster, really. And I think I'm really flattered that people like Monster, because sometimes I look at it and I think it's so personal to me, even the design of the website and everything else. And you know, the Saturday show is literally just me. It was kind of easier doing the Prop Dog show because there were three of us, so that's just me. So the fact that people watch that, I'm incredibly flattered. And I've never really pretended. I'll tell you what, I think when I first started, I sort of dreamt that I'd create the illusion of being a big magic shop and perhaps use the word we rather than I, try and create, you know, this sort of idea of a big team in a massive location. And I just couldn't do it. I mean, I think I was probably incapable of doing it, but, you know, so the show's on my boat because I don't live in a Manhattan loft apartment like you see. I tried to set up a green screen, but the boat was too small. So, you know, and then I thought, well, sod it. I might as well do it in my dressing gown on my sofa because that's the most comfy place to do it. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, Trust and honesty, really, I think is probably the real values I feel with Monster. I just want people to be able to know that they're in good, safe hands. They can always ring me, they can always email me, and I'll get a good, honest answer, and I'll just help them as best I can.
That's absolutely brilliant. Let me ask you one more thing about the website before we move on, which is you have made one of the things that I really appreciate. Your website's very clear and easy to understand, probably because it's not bogged down with everything that Murphy's have brought out.
Well, yeah. Just another thing about the choice thing. So, yes, so Murphy's do want me to stock everything. Of course they do. Here's the thing. I think from... if you go on Netflix, you try and find something to watch, it's a killer.
Yeah.
Because everything's on there.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, I don't think anyone's ever going to watch. And it just numbs you down. It slows you down. And I think psychologically, it's probably pretty damaging just to be scrolling through a whole load of absolute nonsense trying to find one gem. Mm. So I... you know, if you have got a particular product in mind and I don't stock it, I could probably get it in the same as anyone else. But, you know, then that's fine. But, you know, I think if you're scrolling, just looking for an effect, it's best to have as few to scroll through as possible, knowing that there's a chance that they might be worth buying.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, that's another reason for not doing it.
But your website is very, very clear. And one of the things that I like, and I don't think I can think of many, if any, websites that do this, maybe one, I don't know, is that you've segregated brands very, very clearly on the homepage. So this is Illusionist. This is Penguin. This is this. This is that. Very interesting that you do that. Like I said earlier on, like you're the first person that typically gets in anything from Penguin Magic. It's the same with any brand. Like, was that by design? Like, what made you want to actually promote those brands? Because a lot of people, they'll just list Murphy's stuff and that's it. A lot of people don't wholesale in from all these other companies. You've made a conscious decision here to go outside of Murphy's and try to find as much stuff that you can showcase to your clients beyond the stuff that everyone else is doing. Was that to, like, what was the reason behind that? I can guess why it is, but
I suppose because a lot of the producers aren't in this country.
Yeah.
So it's a struggle for, or it's expensive or time consuming for other people to get them for, you know, as an individual, if you want to buy something, you can probably buy it from Arvel in China directly if you want, but then you don't know how much customs you're going to be paid. You don't know how long it's going to take or whatever. You'd rather just get it the same day rather than the next day from here. But they don't do the Murphy's thing, all of those companies. So you can't drop ship it, as it were, for lack of a better phrase. So unless you're really holding stock anyway, it wouldn't make business sense for most magic shops to do it, because you've got to take a risk. You've got to decide whether or not it's a product worth stocking. You might get stuck with it. So because I hold everything in stock anyway, for me, I can hold anyone's stock. And also, those companies do some really good stuff. So, you know, Quiver is from Illusionist. It's brilliant, you know, and well worth stocking. I encourage any other magic shop. Honestly, all you magic shops out there, if you want to stock one item, stock Quiver. So I can, really. I think it's probably the answer, because I'm willing to hold stock. And holding stock doesn't make any sense to anyone in the magic industry at all, for reasons you explained earlier. So once you've made that decision, you might as well go all the way. And also, so I've got more stuff from my Arvel, and I've got stuff from Juice Gala. Bucket Juice Gala is a wonderful guy. Stuff from Green Lemon. And I get to meet them all as well. So, you know, a lot.
Right.
It's part of being part of the community, I think. I like spreading my wings, getting in touch with people, and just enjoying it all. really. Meeting people's great.
Yeah, which is like, you know, I want to ask you something else in a second, but talking about meeting people, you've made one of the things that I think has really helped grow your reputation is your Saturday morning review show. It's become my favorite review show, I'll be honest with you. Like, I think there's some great reviewers out there. Steve Faulkner's amazing, obviously. David at Magic Orthodoxy. There's some great ones out there. You're my favorite because you don't take it too seriously. It's a laugh. It's a joke. But you're also getting across the information clearly. What was the reason behind the review show? Was it in so many people watch that now? They're waiting for Saturday morning. I mean, and I know how hard it is to actually get ahead on YouTube, and you've really started to crack it. Like, it's great.
Why? I guess because there was a prop dog one and people liked that. So it felt like it was a right thing to do. I think every business needs some sort of online presence. There's a lot of pressure on it because it is just me, which was a weird thing. The whole setup of it is a bit bizarre and a bit bonkers, but like I say, it's sort of necessity. And I think if you try and be like everybody else, you might be good, but you're never gonna smash it. You try and be different. I wasn't really trying to be, to be honest, It was, you know, just me. You might end up creating something special. So hopefully I've created something a little bit unique, a little bit different to look at. And just letting people see what the products are, really, you know. So just letting you know, this is what you get, this is what it looks like. I don't rate the products because I think, I mean, I say whether I like them or not. I'll try and do as many pros and cons as possible, try and give them as much information as possible. But, you know, I don't rate them because I think that even if you rate it out of 100, I still think that's quite binary, no matter what it is. You know, back to the Netflix thing, you know, if anything's got under 70%, no one's watching it, you know.
Yeah.
So it's still a yes or a no.
Yeah.
So I'd rather try and talk about it and let people form their own opinions.
That's awesome. And off the back of that, obviously, we saw you at Blackpool running around with a couch, which was insane. You know, all the other magic dealers were on their booth desperately trying to sell stuff, and you're running around the dealer hall plonking people down on sofas.
It's fun. I think I have got a sense of humour. So
yes, again, you have, my friend.
Again, that sort of tickled me. My dad was I grew up, my dad was a bonkers practical joker. He would go to extraordinary lengths to practical joke someone. And I think some of the craziness comes from him. And I think he's, you know, he's passed now. And I think sometimes he'd be looking down going, proud of you. I'm proud of you. So the sofa, funnily enough, became part of the brand of the show. The dressing gown became part of the brand of the show. It just seemed logical to be. The number of people who tried to peek in my dressing gown, I have to say, was quite alarming. I hadn't planned on that. I think Tom Elderfield got the best view. And fortunately it worked.
It did. I mean, it created a massive buzz and then some. Are you doing it again at Blackpool this year?
Yeah, that's the plan. Yeah. Hopefully it'll become a thing. The best bit was there were people there who had absolutely no idea who I was, what the show was, or anything. But once they were stuck on the, you know, once they were sat on the sofa, they had very little choice but to take part. So it kind of worked from that point of view.
Oh, funny.
And also it got me around the hall as well. It got me around the hall. Some people were going, you know, can you do it again? Can you get me? So it was a lot of fun. And also magic, you know, Blackpool is a hell of a lot of fun. And Or it should be a hell of a lot of fun. Sometimes when you're working there, it is just exhausting.
Yes.
But it is very important to remember that, you know, magic is such fun. And it's so easy to start taking it too seriously. It's so easy to, I mean, you know, I'm not a brain surgeon, so, you know, which I do advise that they always take their jobs very, very seriously. For me, you know, it's the entertainment industry. I've just got to have fun with it. It's really, you know, no one's got into magic. I don't think anyone starts off getting into magic as a sort of business or a serious thing or really talk or really thinks that deeply about any of it. They get in it because they, you know, they fooled someone once or they saw a trick. And I just think it's important that it's a really, really fun thing, magic. It's making people happy, essentially. So I hopefully just trying to bring a little bit of that back.
That's great. That's awesome. I completely agree with you. It needs more of this. You're right. Magic is fun. It is fun. And you're, like I say, your review show is absolutely just brilliant. It really is. Question. Like, not to dwell on a point that we were talking about earlier, but something just came into my mind when you talk about reviewing. I've seen you more than once buy stock in because you think it's good. And then you kind of made a post on social media going, actually, this is nowhere near as good as I thought it was. I'm throwing them all in the bin. And it's kind of like any other magic dealer would still have either have them on their stand and not say anything, have them on their site, and hopefully they sell. Or, you know, I don't think anybody would make a post going, this is shit, do not buy it. I don't think that would happen. Or they might maybe try and send it back or something and go, well, this is not fit for purpose. But you just like make a deal of it. Like, I'm going to put it in the bin. I'm going to tell everyone, don't buy it. Like, that's another example of you.
I think I don't want to be putting anything in an envelope going, this guy really wishes he still had his 30 quid. So, yeah, I think that is, again, yeah, you know, if I ran Netflix and someone, you know, we bought a film and we put it on and I'd go, that film's rubbish, just take it off, you know. I do make a loss doing that, obviously, because I've just thrown stuff away. But there's not much you can, I don't think there's, I mean, I just wouldn't want to sell it. I wouldn't want to sell it, bottom line. Yeah. I'm not happy selling it. I'm trying to think of something I could really do with it. Well, it's funny, yeah, because I know Thomas Maloney. I sent him one of a certain trick as a freebie. And I think, you knew it was rubbish. So even as a freebie, no one wants them. So the bin is unfortunately the best place. I had to send him something else to apologise for sending them a freebie that was rubbish. So, yeah. But that's the thing. But also, so just like little things that bother me. So sometimes you can get a good product. But I'm just trying to say, it's only came up this morning. So I've got fragrance in, which is a great trick. Really, really good trick. But there's something you need that doesn't come with it. Which is really, really annoying. So the answer is that I throw that in so that they can do it straight out of the box. And that makes it much, much better trick. So, you know, there's just that sort of just thinking about what people are gonna feel when they open up the box. And I just always want that to be, I'm really pleased this has arrived.
Wow. Wow again. Wow. Like, but again, does some of this come from Prop Dog? Which I remember Dave used to do that. I remember when that was Wonder Bubbles came out and he said the exact same thing. This is a great trick, but the problem is it's made terribly. So he literally took them all, remade them, didn't charge any extra. And then it was just like, yeah, now you can buy them and now they're fit for purpose and it's a great trick.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, especially if you can see it's a great trick and you want people to have it, you want people to use it, then I guess my obligation is to make that happen. There are other things. Hawaiian Punch by John Bannon. It's very American-centric. It requires a Hawaiian quarter. So I've got a load of foreign currency here and some Hawaiian quarters to throw in with it. And then the trick makes sense and people in this country can do it. And that's definitely, yeah, definitely a big influence from Prop Dog is the love of magic, really, I think. And the idea that you just want people to go out there and, like I said at the end of my show, go out there and perform some magic for people and make them happy. Everyone who's got a magic trick has that opportunity to go and really put a smile on someone's face. And I do lots of things. Like, do you know the little, have you seen Popsicle that I've got?
Yeah, by Deuce Garland.
Yeah. Stick that in your pocket. Honestly, you can put a smile on someone's face. Great fun. Great fun, and that's what it's all about. So I've forgotten what the question was, but yeah, if I can make a if I don't like a product, then it's off. It's tricky because I've got no real more information than anyone else does. So you can be really, really burned. I don't want that to happen to anybody else. Fortunately, that's my job.
Wow. Okay, so. Next question. We're sitting in Monster Magic HQ. When I first spoke to you about Monster Magic on the last interview, you were on a boat and it was a pipe dream. Fast forward a couple of years, you're in a building with lots of boxes. What's the plan for Monster Magic? I know you don't want to make money, but I know that you loved the physical shop aspect of Prop Dog. I know that you love the fact that people could come in and mooch around, and I know that you love meeting people. Would you... And I know you love going to conventions for that same very reason.
Yeah.
Would you like Monster Magic to become a shop that people can visit? Is that something that you have on the horizon or?
Oh, I'd love it. I would absolutely love it. To be honest, so it's really funny. So when I first moved in here, I had about six of these boxes and they were just on the floor. And now, I mean, gosh, I've got more boxes than I can count. Got more racking, constantly going to buy more racking. It's all gone crazy. And I'm, you know, so the growth of it is amazing. I'd have to say that at the moment, I can't afford it. I think customer-wise, it's all growing and everything's great. And I'm not complaining, but I'm not making a fortune enough at the moment to have a shop. And if I have a shop, I've got to employ some people. That has become perfectly clear because this is now taken over. This isn't some sort of lifestyle business. You know, it's the hours are ridiculous. The amount of work it is ridiculous. Unfortunately, some of that is, you know, admin, which I'm all for that. You have to employ people because if someone comes in, I can't do the online and run the shop. And also, I want the shop to be, somewhere easy to get to, central, and also be amazing. So I've got a long list of great ideas for the shop, but it's years away, unfortunately. But it's definitely.
What could the magic community do to support you? Like, genuinely, like, I'm not saying like, hey, write Alex a check. There you go. Thanks very much. But like, is there anything that we could, because you are genuinely probably the nicest person in magic. I've met a lot of people. I don't think I've met anyone as nice and caring as you. So, is there anything other than shopping at Monster Magic and telling everyone else to shop at Monster Magic? Is there anything that we can do to support you, or is it kind of?
This is really weird being on here because, you know, like I said, I don't want to boast or brag or, and I'm not the best marketer because I really don't like shouting. I like it if people discover me. I'm not. you know, someone to say, hey, this, you know, this is the best thing, I'm the best thing. That is just isn't me. I can't really do it. I would say, what can you do? Basically, if you want something and it's not on the website, so I lose a lot of money. I won't say I lose a lot of money because I haven't got it. That's another thing about business. So this is the other thing about money. Okay. People say I'm making money, and you're not making money. You're taking someone else's. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where my philosophy is. So I don't want to take anyone's money unless they are getting something back that is worth more than the money they've given me. So hopefully that probably answers the question about the bad products as well. I've got to ramble now. What was the question?
You were talking about how we can support you. You said that one of the ways that you lose a lot of money. Yeah.
So I would say the one thing that because of how the website's set up, and if it's not actually physically here, you can't buy it. I would say, ping me an email if there's something that's new that's come out, because I can have everything that requires being in stock from other manufacturers. I've got them before anybody else. That's fine. But I can't have the Murphy stuff before anyone else, because their websites get updated automatically. You know, as soon as Murphy's release a product, it's on to the majority of magic shops in the world's website. And I can't compete with that, because I've got to watch it. I've got to find out whether I want it, and then I've got to do it all manually. So I'm usually a day or two behind the people who get it all automatically, but you will get it the next day. So I guess if you want the latest product and it's not on my website, then just email me and I'll tell you exactly when it's going to be arriving. That's probably the answer, because most of the time, so I get like, yeah, I get three or four deliveries from Murphy's a week. So usually it's, you know, it's only a day behind most people, but
anyway. Okay.
But also, you know, don't do what you want to do. You don't have to. You don't have to help me. At the same time, you know, whatever's best for you.
Have you pissed somebody off? And not pissed somebody off. Like, one thing that I've noticed is you write a lot of blogs giving your opinion on something that's happening currently in the magic community, and I exclusively agree with everything that you write, by the way. Every single time you write one of these, has that ever kind of bitten you on the arse? Like, you've been very open about how you disagree with Murphy's in the past. You've been very open about subjects that a lot of people keep away from. As somebody who has spent their entire career courting controversy, but is nowhere near as likable as you are, I know how that can bite me on the arse. Or is it because, yeah, I suppose what I'm trying to say is most magic companies, they try to keep away from the controversy wherever possible. And if there's a controversial opinion, they won't share it. I think a lot of people in the community, that's just another reason why they love you, because you're not afraid to voice your opinions about stuff that maybe other magic dealers would keep quiet about.
I think, yes, I have pissed people off. I did a prop dog. In fact, I won't say his name, but I got threatened and all sorts, which really amused the rest of the prop dog team, obviously. So, and so I suppose I sort of regret that, but actually, that ended completely amicably after about three or four different phone calls. I won't say his name, but I'd say that we are good acquaintances now and all's forgiven. Friends reviewing people's stuff when I know them, I'll always say at the start of a review that I know them. If I don't think a friend's trick or someone I know I'm going to be seeing a lot of is very good, then I just won't review it. That's the easiest thing to do. Or they know I'm going to be honest. And I'll tell them to the face what I think of their trick when they show it to me. So that's fine. As for, funny enough, so one guy came up to me at Blackpool and had a go at me about one of the reviews I did for one of his products. That was just a bit embarrassing because it was at the stand and, I wasn't that bad. I was sort of on the fence about it, but, if something's not very good, I have to say. So I had to have a coffee with him. And that was all fine. And another guy came up to me and I'd snagged off his trick. It's a well-known guy, actually. And he just whispered in my ear that I was right. So, I won't tell you that was. But
wow.
I've got to be honest, really. The show is not, the reviews are not for selling. I'll say, if you can get it from other manufacturers, or you can get it from the person direct, if you get it from the creator, then that is easily the best thing you can do for the magic world. It's not the best thing for me. But honestly, if you want a trick from Roddy and Noel, then, buy it from Trick Trick Boom rather than me. If you want, trying to think of new creators that have come on the scene, I think, the old creators, Chris Congreve's just set up. You can buy stuff from Chris Congreve, buy it direct, support Chris. Joel Anthony's just started releasing stuff. I think you had him on your show. You can buy stuff from him.
I was just going to say, I can't think of anything worse than trying to set up my own little production company. I just can't think of anything I'd rather not do than post stuff out every single day, go to, it's why I work with Penguin and Murphy's and Alakazam and TCC and all these people, because I can go, here's an idea. Come back to me when it's ready and I will shape the ever-loving shit out of it for you. Until that point, I don't want to know. You know what I mean? It's just because I don't want to get involved in the logistics. It's not my thing.
I think for me, that is completely the right approach. Again, if you're creating a trick thinking it's going to make you rich, then perhaps doing it on your own and going through the whole production on your own is the answer. But if you've got a great trick that you've been doing for a few years and you want to release it, then you're much better going through a production company and just, taking, let them have all of the hassle and the grief. I've got a few things that have been trying to release, but it just takes so long. Not least because I haven't got the time to constantly be answering emails and constantly putting things together and taking pictures and trying to figure it out, that it takes ages. It's a lot of effort. So, So I'm in awe of anyone who releases all of that stuff on their own. And, I think supporting the creators is one of the best things that you can do, because without them, we haven't got any new magic coming out. And I think, so go to a reputable company and get them to look after you and get your trick out there. Don't expect to make a fortune. You might do, who knows? You might have the new double cross. But I think this is why I don't like sometimes, I sort of bang on a bit about sort of plagiarism or people stealing ideas or the counterfeit stuff that's, available now these days. And why you shouldn't buy it, because if you keep doing that, then there'll be no magic. There'll be no magic creators, and it's very, very important to support people doing what they want to do.
That's amazing. That's great. So a couple of quick fire questions before we finish off. First question, do you still speak to Dave Bonsall? Is he in a good place right now? Is he happy?
I haven't seen him for a while. He is super, super happy. Prop Dog is still going. So if you want any of the Prop Dog products, if you want the Bonsall Apes, if you want the Ring Fly, Dave is still there. He is still going. He's nailed it. He has absolutely smashed it. I was gutted when Prop Dog went, but it's absolutely the best thing for Dave. And Dave is one of those people who does stuff. You know, if he's decided he wants to do something, he'll do it. And he does it in a way that he thinks it's all going to work and it's all going to be good. And he gives it 100%. He did that with Prop Dog. And I think he's doing it now with his new life down in Wales.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. Learn a lot from that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dave's amazing. Next question. What other goals do you have outside of potentially one day having a shop? You've said that you don't really want to perform full time anymore. I totally get that. Is there anything else? Is all of your focus now Monster Magic? Is there anything else that you want to accomplish, or are you kind of really happy with the way things are going? And, you know, is there anything on your magical bucket list, either within Prop Dog, either within Monster Magic or outside of Monster Magic, on your magical bucket list that you want to try and hit?
There's producing the monster stuff. So getting out some of my own effects, that is proving slow. And, you know, Monster, fortunately, has just grown. So I'm really not complaining that I haven't got enough time to do other stuff. So I've got an ever-growing list of products that's sort of half-baked at the moment. So getting those out is probably top priority. I've got a lecture on creativity that I'd like to sort of really, really nail and start pushing that. Creativity fascinates me, so I study it big time. I would say that everybody is creative, and magic is one of the most creative arts that you can take part in. So put your heart and soul into making your magic original. So I'd like to teach people how to do that. And also I've got a lecture on presentation. So I'd like to, you know, just how to present magic, why presentation is important and things like that. I've got a slightly bonkers idea of presenting. Oh, do you want to give the lecture away? presenting a magic trick, but the trick doesn't actually exist. But you can present it in such a way that it feels like magic's happened, even though there's been no trick all along. That's the idea.
Wow. That's a really interesting concept. That's great.
Yeah. So fingers crossed that works.
Wow. I'd buy a ticket for that. I'd go and watch that lecture. That sounds amazing.
Wow. Yeah. So maybe getting out there. So I've got, I suppose the idea is to do, a series of, there'll be online, perhaps lectures, probably. Probably give them away, obviously. So they'll be free to watch.
Kind of what you do. It's your MO. And one other question. As somebody who's seen everything and has very specific views about what's good and what's bad, I'm putting you on the spot here now and I don't care. What would you consider to be the trick of the year 2024 as we come to the close? And as a follow-up question, why was it my trick?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Not a bad one.
Isn't it still too early to know?
No, most of the stuff has come out. I mean, there's been some really great tricks this year, hasn't there? I mean, you know, that Murphy's have put some killer stuff out, like Tobias Dostal's Repo and Liquify were both really good.
I'll tell you what I like about Tobias, and this is again something about the creativity and how we think about magic. You know, certainly with, like, Liquify, is what he realizes is that you've just got to create the illusion of having turned something. I'm not spoiling the trick for people now, I'm not giving it away, but you can create the illusion of having done something. That's what magic is. Whereas anyone, if you said, how do I turn metal into molten metal, they'll end up with some sort of liquid and heat and, you know, go on to that. You don't have to. You just got to create the illusion of it. In the same way that, you know, I think magic fools people because they ask the wrong questions, like, how do you cut a woman in half? Well, obviously you don't cut a woman in half. But it's all framed in that way. Yeah. So his stuff is just terrific. I like Repo a lot. I thought Repo's fantastic.
Oh, I agree.
I haven't got my hands on Angelo's new trick yet, Notion of Motion. So, you have. Yeah. and again, also, Angelo is one of those, you know, really creatively off the chart.
Oh, he is. He's probably, if I had to pick a favorite creator, well, put it this way, I'm giving a bit away here. I've got my first big book coming out next year, published by Penguin. And Angelo wrote the foreword for me, and I was so happy.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, I am halfway through writing a book as well.
You left that one a bit quiet.
Well, that's because I know how long Angelo's taken writing his. So he's probably got much more, much better stuff in his though. So his probably does take longer. But so I've got that as well. There's lots of projects in the pipeline. It's a timing thing, and it's there's so much you can do in this industry, you know. So I'm having a lot of fun. I can't give away too much. There's the idea of monster shows and things like that. So live shows.
Oh, really?
I'd set up a monster live show.
That would be great.
Yeah. So that's still down there. I've got a whiteboard that is no longer a whiteboard because the ideas have been on there so long I can't get them off.
It's nice that you're constantly thinking of ways to take it, and you know, you're evolving the business. And to be clear, Monster Magic didn't really properly exist a couple of years ago. You know, most businesses fail in the first year. The fact that you are not just surviving but thriving, I mean, you're doing, you know, especially from a customer point of view, from a branding point of view, from the point of view of awareness and people, you know, loving your brand. I mean, I've not seen this sort of impact in a long time in the community. So you've done amazing.
I mean,
I know you're not a marketing person, but you've accidentally done well.
I mean, I'm absolutely thrilled. I am cock-a-hoop every day. I still wake up thinking, you know, that order at 11 o'clock last night might be my last ever. So I still have that fear every morning. But I'm absolutely cock-a-hoop that I get to come in here, you know, do what I love, how I want to be, and do it exactly how I want to do it. I would give life advice to anybody is very bold, but I would say just be yourself, do stuff how you want to do it. Don't listen to rule books. Don't apply. Logic's applied to too many things. Monster makes absolutely no logical sense. It certainly makes no sense to an accountant. But I wouldn't do it any other way. And, you know, yeah, sometimes I might, you know, want to be able to afford to treat myself for a meal out now and again, but that'll come, maybe. Who knows? But it's...
I want every single person in the magic community that's watching this to support you, Alex, because like I said at the beginning of the interview, you are one of the good guys. You genuinely care about this community and you genuinely care about people, regardless of whether they're a customer of Monster Magic or not. You just care about them and you care about the perception of magic, and you deserve to have Monster go from strength to strength and achieve everything that you've got on that whiteboard and then some. And I really want anyone that's took the time to watch this interview to really listen to what you've said and listen to the things that you've done and then go and support you in every way that they can, because it's easy for somebody to support you in this community, and they really should, because you're one of the good guys and you genuinely care.
Oh, well, I do genuinely care. So I will say, I must just say, so this, some of the nicest things that happen to me during the day is that I generally get a few thank you emails, which I really, really appreciate. I also get people reach out to me and say, you know, I didn't buy this from you. I got it at Blackpool or whatever, you know, can you help? And I would just like to say to anybody, if they've got any problem with any trick, regardless of whether they bought it from me or not, they can contact me and I will try and help them. Like I say, you know, I enjoy being able to do that. So don't think you're putting me out or you're being cheeky or whatever. And support me if you must, but I'm not gonna clean. I don't know.
I'll tell everybody for you. I don't care. I am quite good at marketing. Go and support. Go and support Alex. Go and support him. And go and buy some stuff from Monster Magic. The website is amazing. He gets more in. If you're in the UK and you want to see the latest Penguin item, the latest Illusionist item, the latest TCC item, Alex is the first person that will get those things in, guaranteed, every single time. And while you're there, everything that's on the website is in stock. You're going to get it the next day. You're going to get it.
That has proven so hard to get through to people, and I kind of understand why, but people are still going, but have you actually got it? So yep. I mean, yeah,
but it's unusual is that what you're doing flies in the face of what's traditional. And it's not that the other magic dealers that are doing it differently are doing it wrong. It's the standard operating procedure for every magic dealer around the world. That's what you do. You've just kind of taken a stand and said, no, I'm not gonna do it that way, I'm gonna do it this way. And that's even more applaudable.
Oh, thank you. Well, I think I'm lucky to be in the position that I am. So yeah.
You're amazing. And I know this won't be the only time that you come on Magic TV. I know you're going to be on here again. Genuinely, Alex, if there's anything I can ever do to help you, if you ever want me to promote anything for you, if there's ever anything I can do to help with your products and help you bring them to fruition, whatever it is, if there's something I can do to help, please let me know, because I will. And I wish you every continued success, because honestly, you deserve it.
Thank you. That is very kind. And I must thank you for everything you do for the magic community too, because, you know, I know that comes from just being a nice guy too. There's a lot of stuff that you do. No, so we can talk about me being nice, but there's a lot of stuff you do that doesn't make any sense. There's a lot of time that you take that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but I've got a reputation to uphold here. I'm the bad guy, so let's not tell people. Keep that on the down low. And this is all about you. So look, anybody watching this, support Alex, support Prop Dog. More importantly, leave a comment down below. Let Alex know what you thought. Follow Monster Magic on all of the social media platforms that they're on. Facebook. Go and subscribe to YouTube. Genuinely, Saturday mornings, my favorite review channel, bar none. One more time, on behalf of everyone that's watched this and behalf of the entire Magic community, Alex, thank you very much.
Thank you.
No problem. Guys, on behalf of Alex Kirk, thank you for watching this interview. Do all of the stuff I said earlier. I'll be back next Saturday with another interview. I'm back tomorrow with a Q&A, so make sure you check that out. I'll see you again soon. My name's Craig. This is Alex Kirk. He was at Monster Magic HQ, and we'll see you again right here on Magic TV.